fun. No one is a sober show. The only place to go. Bruce and Shelley and Mark, let them light the spark to stay on the right track. Or just listen for fun to the 101, to the 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Thank you to Brandon for one of the entries to our Recovery 101 Idol, Recovery 101 jingle.
What do you mean one of them? That is the one.
Well, you know.
We're still waiting for
more
there's,
people. No, there's
thank you
there's
to Brandon
some that
for
are in
our
the works.
Marvelous Recovery 101 jingle.
Yes.
I know for a fact that there are two in the works.
Yeah, we'll see.
Fran has one and Courtney has one.
Okay.
Well, we'll see what happens. Recovery 101 does not speak.
At all.
At all.
Yeah. For N.A.
What's the lead-out music?
A-C-A-M-A-O-A-G-A-P-A-S-L-A-S-L-A-A-C-R-R-R-M-M-S-O-S-H-A-P-A-S-W-A-F-W-A-L-B-A-F-N-A. We don't really speak that well for ourselves.
S-A.
Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with...
Shelley.
And Mark.
We may have gotten rid of the... If you were listening on the last show... Which, if you were, I'm sorry. We may have gotten rid of the creature. We don't know what the creature is.
It's the creature.
We brought in the bullhorn we got from Robert. And we used the bullhorn alarm because, let me tell you, I don't know if anyone has ever... This is like
not... Chase the peanut gallery away.
Yeah, this is like this is like sure. Not... this is like not a little... Humpty Dumpty bullhorn. This thing's a bullhorn.
No, it's a professional bullhorn.
Oh, yeah. No, this thing's got some oomph to it.
And this is NYP. Come out with your hands up.
Yeah, we turned it on the alarm setting. And things like, weep, weep, weep. If there was a creature in here, they beat feet.
Or they're just deaf.
Peanut gallery's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, it ran Sarah out of here. You know what we could do for a topic today?
Sarah's four Sarah. Step.
No.
Sarah.
Be awesome. We'll do a topic on Sarah. I told her earlier today, we were talking about, you know, taking inventory and how important it was. And I said, I like to take a fearless and moral inventory of everyone I come across. And she goes, oh, can you do my fourth and fifth with my sponsor for me? And I said, sure. We could do it on the air.
Well, we told her we'd do her fourth on the air. She could just go play it for her sponsor.
Awesome. Do you know that right now as she listens to this part of the show, she's like, oh my God.
Oh, no.
I guarantee you, as this show is playing, she is going to be have me in Facebook chat going, WTF, you know, all the things. WTF.
OMG.
OMFG. Perfect. Well, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
Lame.
Oh, so I have to move over where the creature's at.
Yes, now you get to sit next to the creature.
Perfect.
Let's see. Oh.
Oh.
Well, shout-outs to everybody that I shouted out to on the last show. Sarah's okay. Not here to bitch at me, so.
How about Robert, Fran, Mark,
George,
all right,
Howard?
You're going to make me go back up to
no,
the top
not.
Of the
we
page.
Don't, we don't
you
care.
You don't have to. I'm doing it for you right now.
Howard, Fran, Robert, Sarah, Bill, Phil, Donald, and Mark P.
Bruce.
Yay.
Connor.
We did that already.
Connor didn't send anything in this week.
Yeah, but we can give him a shout-out anyway. He's your kid, for God's sake.
Yeah, but he's not doing his job.
Shout-out.
Okay. Oh, give me my cigarette, will you?
Kind of her cancer-causing
stick of death and my soda there.
Buy anything else?
Can
we get you a fuzzy blanket?
I'm all good now. Percy Foster is dead.
Still?
Well, he just died not too long ago.
I'm going to go on a limb here and say, who the hell is Percy Foster? Nothing against the Foster family.
Okay, well, this is what he did for a living. Now, open your ears and open your mind a little.
Did he have a farm?
His official job was...
Percy Foster had a farm.
Gordon Ramsay sex dwarf.
Was he a porn actor?
Yes, he's a dwarf. He happens to look, I've seen the picture of him, dead off like Gordon Ramsay.
And he's a dwarf.
And he's a dwarf
porn star?
Yes.
That's awesome. Hell's Kitchen, baby.
We call it Tripod Tony.
Yeah. Hell's Kitchen.
He made a ton of money being Gordon Ramsay in porn films.
You know what? There is, we had well, would still be a friend if I'd see him around, this buddy of mine, Mark. He used to love midget porn. And I'm like, this, he would probably know exactly who this is. Now, I've seen much porn in my day. I don't recall ever seeing a midget that looked like Gordon Ramsay. But now I'm almost forced to go look for it. At least his picture. We gotta bring up his picture later and look to see what he looks like, if he really looks like Gordon Ramsay.
Okay, it gets better.
How could it get better than a midget that looks like Gordon Ramsay doing porn?
He was found dead and partially gnawed by animals in a badger den.
Honey
in
badger.
A what?
In a badger den.
A honey badger den.
Dude. Whoa.
They do not know why he was in there.
Because honey badger don't give a shit. Yeah.
He was found in Tregaron, West Wales, in a deep underground, in a badger den that I guess the co-op or the council or whatever was planning to gas to kill the badgers.
Okay. Okay, so they were planning to gas.
Yeah, they hadn't done it yet.
How did they find him in there?
I don't know.
Someone just said,
story.
Hey, this guy, this midget, this dwarf is missing. Let's go see if he's in the badger den. Because honey badger don't give a shit.
Yes, I don't know how they found out. It doesn't say in the story.
Wow, you know what? I have to tell you, I feel really sorry for the guy. Because I said that video with that thing. And badgers just beat the crap out of cobras. Can you imagine getting dragged in there by badgers?
They would gnaw.
You know what, though? Badgers are still not that big.
They go for soft and tender areas.
Well, they're still,
yeah, they do.
They're still not that big.
Yeah, yeah.
Something tells me he went in there. Because I don't think badgers are big enough to drag a dwarf.
Oh, I bet they are.
I bet they are.
I don't know.
Okay.
It's creepy at best. I feel really sorry for his family.
Next story.
Let's see. We've got the story of David Williams in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Is he a porn star?
No, he's not a porn star.
Oh, okay.
He's 30 years old.
He's a midget that looked like Bobby Flay.
He's 30 years old. He turned himself into the county correctional facility on an outstanding battery warrant.
That's nice of him.
That is very nice of him. What's also nice of him is that he forgot to empty his pockets, and he happened to be carrying 17 little bags of cocaine. Oh,
nice.
No, not 17. Sorry, 37.
Nice.
And
yes.
He emptied them into the tray that you're supposed to put. Wow.
Yeah.
Whoops.
You know, criminals unclear in the concept, I would say.
And if he had left them in his pocket, they wouldn't have set off the metal detector.
I would have to say that if I were going to turn myself in on an outstanding warrant, I might want to check the contents of my pockets before I went to the correctional facility.
And I don't know about you, even if they're like only quarter grams, 37 of them put a pretty good bulge in your pocket.
He now faces 12 and a half years in prison, whereas before he faced 6 years.
Wow. So what do you think he's going to do, Mark?
12 and a half years.
Looks like it.
What? No, there's no Prop 36 out there. Because he could maybe make the claim that... What was his original charge?
He got a year for every three bags.
What he should have said is the original battery was done because he was a dope fiend. He got caught with all this dope. Now you should Prop 36 me, and that'll clear both problems for me.
Yeah.
Let's see. In Pittsburgh... Speaking of stupid studies, which we weren't, but we are now.
Okay.
Was there funding for the stupid study?
I'll bet there was.
I think so. Although I can't find the name of the magazine or study or wherever
it's
it was published.
It's a magazine.
It was the Seattle Children's Research Institute. For
Good
some
Lord.
Reason, they did a study in Pittsburgh.
The Seattle Children's Institute did a study in Pittsburgh.
Dr. Dimitri Christakis was the person who spearheaded the study of children to find out whether watching too much television can make a person lazy. What they found out, yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Send me a check.
End of study. They had the kids. They had three different groups of kids. One group of kids was playing with crayons. Another one was watching SpongeBob SquarePants. And another one was watching an educational cartoon on PBS. The group of children...
Educational cartoon ones were asleep.
The children that were watching SpongeBob SquarePants scored significantly poorer on assessment tests afterwards. The children that scored the highest were the ones playing with crayons.
A lot to learn from SpongeBob.
Yeah, the ones playing with crayons scored the highest.
Wow. You know what? I did a similar study when I was young watching Gilligan's Island, and I felt like I didn't want to do anything afterwards either.
Yeah, but you were smoking a bunch of pot.
Oh, those poor people. Shelley, what movie?
What?
Those poor castaways.
I don't know.
I've Galaxy Quest.
Oh, okay. Oh, right, okay. Well, you know, it's been a while since
Did
I
you
saw
see
it.
The historical records? You didn't think Gilligan's Island was real, right? Oh, those poor castaways.
Let's see. Also in Pittsburgh. We got lots going on in Pittsburgh, apparently.
Pittsburgh's not that big.
Oh, you know what it was?
Did they
I know
win,
what
by
it was.
The way?
Huh?
Pittsburgh?
Got their butts kicked by the Ravens.
Well, you know what? Our friends in Tennessee lost as well.
Yes, the official
But they'll come roaring back next time.
Official
I see the banners back up.
Yes, yes, I put the banner. This time I stapled it up so it won't fall down again.
Okay.
Nice.
I know what happened because I got somebody sent me the Pittsburgh story about the children cartoons thing, and I clicked on a side note. So that's how we ended up with another Pittsburgh story.
That's what happens with 5 hours of YouTube.
A one-legged man in a wheelchair tried to rob another man in downtown Pittsburgh.
Was he having a kicking contest?
A witness said he saw the suspect and the man struggling over a CD player, so he stopped and tried to break it up. Police searched but said they couldn't find the suspect. And then later on, the man also tried to rob another person, saying that he had a gun in his bag.
The guy with the wheelchair?
They still haven't caught the guy with the wheelchair. How
and the
hard.
One leg?
Yeah, and the
he's
one leg.
He's got one leg and a wheelchair.
He lost himself in the crowd.
Yeah.
How hard is it to find a guy in a wheelchair with one leg?
Can you identify him? No.
Yeah. He's the guy parked in the handicap spot.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't care.
Let's see. In Marina Del Rey, California.
Okay.
Police chased a naked man through the docks of Marina Del Rey for several hours on Saturday.
There's crystal meth involved
in this. For several hours?
After he escaped from a hospital with his equipment in tow. And
Wait a minute. How big is this guy? His equipment's in tow?
It doesn't say.
He's dragging along the dock behind him.
It doesn't say how big he is, but you got to give the guy props. He was still attached to a catheter and an IV.
Oh, that kind of equipment.
And he led the deputies down Lincoln Boulevard and then jumped a fence with his equipment. He really wanted to get away.
Okay, you know what? These cops are really lame.
Yeah.
Because you know what? I watch episodes of Cops, and it amazes me, these guys that are seemingly sort of out of shape. And they're wearing, like, the regular cop shoes, and they're chasing down, like, this 15-year-old Mexican kid or something. And, you know, and they're able to vault over all these walls. And then you get these guys can't stop a guy who's going over a fence taking his IV with him.
Yeah.
Please. They need Barnaby Jones. He could have shot him from 100 yards away.
Yeah.
Okay.
One shot.
As opposed to the A-team.
Yeah.
Who could have unloaded 17 assault rifles. And
missed
he'd
everybody.
Still be jumping fences.
Okay, I'm going to skip that one because it's kind of gross.
Okay.
As opposed to the, you know, dwarf getting dragged into the badger den.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. Okay, do you remember a few months ago we had the story, I think it was from Pennsylvania, with the guy putting lobsters down his pants to steal them?
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah, that's okay. Common occurrence.
Why? Because in D'Iberville, Mississippi, on September 7th, a man is being held for allegedly attempting to steal live lobsters by stuffing them into the pockets of his shorts.
Ouch.
He also tried to steal at the same time. He stuffed bags of shrimp and a pork loin inside his pants.
Where do you put the butter?
It doesn't say that he stole any butter.
Better take the butter.
He stole shrimp and lobster and didn't take any butter?
Yeah, what the hell?
Wow.
Maybe he already had the butter.
He bought the butter.
He needed to have a Gordon Ramsay midget in his pocket.
See, I don't find... and the funny thing is, I don't find the story so strange of people stealing food.
Yeah.
Sticking live lobsters... Of course, they probably have the... aren't they taped?
The claw
claws are taped.
The claw cuffs on them?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the lobsters are in that tank thingy, and you have to get somebody else to get them out for you.
Apparently, you don't have to, or this guy wouldn't have two in his pockets.
I don't know. I don't
get it.
Is
that a lobster in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?
Yeah.
He attempted to flee officers when they arrived on the scene, but he tripped and fell.
Did he have baggy pants on?
It doesn't say that he had baggy pants on.
But he grabbed lobsters and shrimp.
Lobster, shrimp, and a pork loin, and stuffed them in your pants.
He already had crabs.
This whole, you know, once again, we're back to my...
She already had crabs.
But once again, we're back to the my being absolutely flabbergasted at the fact that people continually stuff things in their pants thinking we can't tell.
I think it depends what it is. When I very first got sober and I was living on the street, I was still stealing, and I could take quite a bit of groceries.
You use the term depends for sticking something in your pants? That was pretty good, Bruce.
Depends. It depends.
There depends.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me find out what...
I sang a karaoke one night.
Okay, we got a little bit
I sang
time
this Elvis song. There's these real old bar flies. I thought they were going to start throwing depends up on the stage.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. You guys want to cross your legs?
I'm assuming I do.
Yeah, you're going to want to. Zhang Nan. This is from China.
Oh, this is a eunuch story, I'm sure.
It's about to be.
Well, not yet.
Not yet.
Oof.
Zhang Nan was bathing with live eels to cleanse his skin because apparently they believe that the eels will eat off the dead skin cells.
Oh, they'll eat off something.
They will.
When a 6-inch eel entered his urethra, swam up his penis, and lodged in his bladder.
Ow!
It's a simple procedure.
And he said he felt a sharp pain and reached down to see the eel enter his urethra, tried to grab the eel, but it was too slippery and watched it disappear, and then drove himself to the hospital.
Ow. Ow, ow, ow. Ow, ow. Okay, I have...
Can you imagine filling out the form in the ER?
Yeah, really.
You know how it sounds like you think like that's almost impossible to happen?
Not so much.
Two kids in a sandbox. Find that video online.
No, thanks. We don't.
Two kids. You'll be able to find reactions to that on YouTube. Just watching the reactions lets you know you don't really want to see it.
No, not really. Okay, let's see. I'll just finish up with Gilbert, Arizona. An Arizona mother has been accused of abusing her 10-month-old daughter by blowing cannabis smoke into her mouth to stop her from crying after she hit her.
You know, that story's getting old. And I know they're different stories, but it's just, guys, it's getting old.
Yeah, she was tired of the kid crying and blew pot smoke into her mouth.
Did it work?
No, and they actually got it. Somebody got a video. It says that there was an actual video. Her roommate captured video footage of all of this happening.
Wow.
Not worthy of water. Yeah. More water for us.
Like our parents were any better rubbing Jack Daniels around in our mouth. I don't think my mom ever did that, though.
I don't think my mom did it with me either. But
I've heard of many people.
Yeah. But yeah, that's fairly common actually, but that was not abusive. I mean, that was literally a little bit on your fingertip that you put on the gums and it numbed the gums. It's not that.
If you
much
did that,
my mom used cocaine.
I was going to say if you did that, well, and you know, it begs the question though, if you did that with cocaine, would that be abusive?
No, it'd be helpful.
I'm just throwing the question out there because if you put a little bit of alcohol to numb the gum, little bit of cocaine to numb the gum.
You're also talking about a very different time frame, too. You know, 30 years ago, that was completely different.
Well, 30 years ago, it was non-habit forming.
30 years ago, you could spank your kids and they wouldn't send you to jail.
You can still spank your kids without them sending you to jail?
Not in Texas.
Yeah, you can.
Remember the boozy news story we had?
Uh-huh.
I just heard an interesting thing about Texas.
What?
Texas, in like the last... whatever it was, 6 or 8 months or 18 months or something, is the only state in the United States that has created like 100,000 new jobs.
Oh, yeah. Half the jobs in the U.S. have been created in Texas.
Yeah.
Rick Perry for president.
By one of the guys who's running for president.
Rick Perry for president.
Okay, and that's the end of the boozy news. Is there a woman you love that drinks too much or uses drugs? Or maybe that woman is you. At Casa de las Amigas, we can help. Casa de las Amigas is a beautiful facility nestled in a quiet Pasadena, California neighborhood. We have beautiful flowers, soothing fountains, and comfortable rooms, all very reasonably priced. Casa de las Amigas has a superb reputation in the recovery community and society at large. We have provided substance abuse services to women for over 44 years who are in search of a productive and sober life and the opportunity to achieve it. There is a spiritual wind that calmly flows across the grounds of our facility, touching the women with a willingness they may have never experienced before now. We have 30, 60, or 90-day residential treatment programs, intensive outpatient treatment, and our sober living environment provides the opportunity to work or obtain an education while living in a safe, sober atmosphere. Our caring and compassionate counseling staff walks the women through the complex recovery process with dignity and grace. For a free assessment, please call us at 626-792-2770. 626-792-2770.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio. Yeah.
Dare I say it?
Go ahead.
Welcome back. Now see what I'm going to do when Shelly isn't looking? I'm going to edit in her singing. And that was what one of the lead out music was last week. Shelly singing. She won't bite. Mark, you have a topic.
I do.
And I remember what it was for a change.
Being helpful.
That's so helpful that you remembered.
Now, as in what way? Are we talking about just being helpful, being overly helpful, program-wise, non-program-wise?
Being, you can be helpful in the program, and you can be an enabler in the program.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where is the line?
Boy. And that is a can be a fine line or a real big fat line. Of course, I'm a coke addict.
Like
I like the big
lies.
Fat line.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Shelly? When is it being helpful versus being enabling?
I don't know. I mean, I look at it from my perspective with what I went through with my sponsor. And it's helpful when somebody says to you, I am sick of hearing about this. You need to stop whining and make a decision. It's not helpful when somebody lets you go on and on and on and on and on for years and years and years about the same subject. It's helpful when someone says, you've been dicking around long enough, write your fourth step, or kidnaps you to do your fifth step. It's not helpful when somebody says, are you done yet? And they, and you say no, and they say, oh, okay, well, keep working on it.
Oh. Okay.
Just my opinion.
Yeah. I almost thought we had peanut gallery showing up for a second.
Yeah. No, just the kids.
What do you think, Mark?
Well, I was wondering because, you know, giving people rides to meeting is being helpful.
Yes, that's helpful.
Does it reach a point, though, where you're enabling that person not have to fully experience their newcomerism? You know, where all of a sudden they just count on the fact you're going to give them a ride?
Things that make you go,
Yeah. You know, I mean,
there's two sides to that.
Have an example. I have a perfect example.
I'm sure you do.
Guy I sponsor, sponsored, or sort of sponsor. I'm not sure if I sponsor him. Called me for rides.
Okay.
And then we'd go back out. Call me for rides, go back out. Call me for rides, go back out. Called me for a ride one day, and I told him, I just drove right near your house today. And there's a bus stop that runs right to that meeting you want to go to. Take the bus.
Right.
He then called you for a ride.
I didn't go get him either.
I know.
Today he called me
for a ride. He called you for a ride. And do you reach a point where you're trying to give somebody a ride to help them out? How long do you do that for before you're just enabling them to settle into an expectation?
Well, yeah, I totally see what you're talking about because what's one thing we would tell people early on in recovery? Hey, you got to figure out how to get to a meeting. You know what you do? You take the phone list with you. You start calling people on the phone list till they take you to a meeting.
Yeah.
So they're really doing what we want them to do. But like you say, when does it become the point where – they're just we did a show a long time ago called Playing the Program.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that, you know, they go out, they come in, they go out, they come in, they go out, they come in, mm-hmm. and then they want the same kind of assistance over and over and over again. We talked about a little bit on the last show where after a while people say, you know what, dude, I'm okay with helping you, but like you're not holding up your end of the bargain, which is you're drinking and using when you should not be drinking or using no matter what. And it's like, I like to help you. And, you know, I've given this guy a ride home several times after coffee when he's gone to a meeting and he's gotten there however he got there, and I've given him a ride home. But I totally see where you're going with that.
You know, at what point do you look and say, I can't just be doing this all the time?
Right.
Because it turns into all the time.
And it does.
And it's an expectation.
Yeah, and you know what? The thing is, like, you know, I don't know what everyone's situation is around the country, but I'll tell you what. When I was new in the program, and fairly new in the program, I bought my first bomber vehicle off someone in the program.
Mm-hmm.
$500. It was a boat.
Got 6 gallons to the mile.
I don't even remember what kind of car it was. I mean, but it was like some big, giant 70s, you know, boat, tuna boat. And I would be sitting in the club, and people would call for rides to a meeting, and I would go get them. And I'd have, like, no gas, and I would go get it. And I remember I used to sit around and be kind of pissed because there'd be, like, these old-timers sitting around with, like, nice cars and stuff, and no one wanted to go get these people. And then later on, as I'm getting the same kind of calls from the same people over and over again, and I thought, eventually you got to figure a way to be different. You know, I mean, I scrimped up the money to buy a car.
Should you feel bad, though, saying no?
Well, I did. I did feel bad when I was young, and I almost never said no, and I would go do it. And I guess for me, for my point, mm-hmm. at least at that time, mm-hmm. I could say like I felt I was being of service, and it was probably more helpful to me than it was to them at that point.
Sure.
But it's different, like the scenario we're giving where people are like abusing that. They're not even really staying sober, or they're going in and out, and then they're still wanting to get coddled, you know, handled with gloves.
The thing in this program that's really tough about being helpful is you have to think about what we are.
We're people pleasers.
We're people pleasers. We're also dope fiends.
Yeah.
So I had a meeting one time that I'd go to, and I'd get there about maybe 5 minutes before the meeting. I came in one time about 5 minutes before the meeting. Coffee wasn't made yet.
Ooh.
So I made the coffee. Coffee person showed up like 2 minutes after I got it going. Oh, man, I was running late. Thanks. 3 weeks later, I had made coffee 3 straight weeks, and the coffee person started showing up 5 minutes into the meeting. Just figuring it was going to get done. So I was being helpful, but what I didn't know is, did I create a resentment by taking somebody else's commitment, or did they just figure, oh, what the heck, somebody's going to get there and make it, I don't need to get there?
What do you think, Shelley?
I don't do that anymore. I used to do that too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do that anymore, especially because a lot of the times when I have commitments at meetings, for some reason people keep electing me secretary of crap.
Because you're the voice of reason.
And Shelley, one thing I learned at our Thursday meeting, actually, a few mm-hmm. years ago, it was down to, like, you know how the meetings come and, you know, they wax and wane, and there'll be lots of people at one point and a little bit of people.
120 people, 4 people.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was at a point where I was literally, the only job I didn't have was secretary. And I was doing everything. Mm-hmm. And I was getting really burnt out on that meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm the secretary of a couple of meetings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't start the coffee. If the coffee maker doesn't show mm-hmm. up and somebody says, where's the coffee? I don't know. The coffee maker's not here. That's not my job. If you would like to do it, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Delegate.
Know? Exactly. I mean, you know, tonight at the meeting, I walk in and Sarah was actually with me and she said, well, who's the coffee maker? I said, well, he'll be here. And he was. And he showed up. I'm not going to do his job for him. Mm-hmm. When you start doing their jobs for them, they think that, well, somebody mm-hmm. else will do it. And then, and commitments are important because they help keep you sober. And if you don't hold somebody to their commitment, they're not going to come back. Or
so
they're not going
to
stay
helpful
sober.
To them.
It's not helpful.
But when I was a newcomer and came in, there was always coffee made.
And the coffee does always get made.
Okay. Yeah.
You know,
like I had no commitment at that meeting when I made the coffee, and all of a sudden I was, you know.
Well, Mark knows, though. I mean, Mark, you've done, and in a way, like the old-timer helpfulness. I mean, how many times have you and I or Shelley gone into a meeting where I've walked into the meeting's about to start, I look at the back wall, there's no literature out. Now, I don't even know what happened to the literature guy. I don't know if he's there. I don't know if he's late. I don't know anything. But one thing I know is the literature's supposed to be out.
Right.
So with no fanfare, where I'm not doing it to say, ooh, look at me, I will go get out the literature and go mm-hmm. put it out, you know. But I see, you know, I'm not, and in that case, I'm not trying to be helpful to the literature guy.
No.
I'm trying to be helpful to the newcomer in there that might want some literature.
Yeah. And that brings us back to the topic. We're being helpful. And even though it turns into maybe enabling somebody to not have to do their job, that doesn't mean we stop being helpful because it's not important to them. It's important to us.
And I think that's where the fine line is rather than the big yeah. fat line to me is like the guys that continuously go out and still want you to help them. Well, yeah. that's not really being helpful, and that's pretty clear cut. Then you've got the things that are not so clear cut, like we need coffee. The coffee guy's not here. I don't know what happened to him. Maybe he called someone, said he's running late. Maybe that person didn't make the meeting. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I mean, I've got two guys right now that if they go out one more time, I won't sponsor them anymore because obviously I am not effective as a sponsor for them.
You know what? That's a great way to look at it.
Yeah. It's not them. It's me. I'm not effective as your sponsor, so you know what? You need to get a different one.
Oh, no, it's them.
No, it's me.
I'm just telling you.
No.
It's them. Because if they were doing what you told them to, they wouldn't be getting loaded.
My sponsor had kind of a novel approach to the, you know, teaching or showing or what do you want to call it, providing an example of responsibility mm-hmm. to a sponsee is that I don't remember exactly when in early sobriety, but at some point my car broke down. And it was broken down for like 8, 9, 10 months, something like that, for a long time. And my sponsor had always told me that as long as I was working on my steps, as long as I was mm-hmm. moving forward, that she would continue to help me.
Mm-hmm.
So she took me to a whole bunch of meetings. She took me to a ton of meetings. Mm-hmm. And then she said, I'm going to give you a car. And it was not a good car.
To use.
It was, no, she gave it to me. She signed the paper over.
Oh, but we gave it back to somebody, though.
We sold it to a friend of hers.
Oh,
for
yeah,
her,
yeah, yeah.
For her. Right. right. So she gives me this car. It's a total piece of crap car.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's almost as bad as my car
hey,
is now.
It was a great car.
It's a newcomer car.
It went from here to there and back.
Yeah. The provision was, though, I had to go every Saturday and pick up another new girl that was newer than I was.
Yeah.
And take her to the Saturday meeting.
It's a newcomer car.
Right.
Yeah.
And I did that for like 4 months. I took this girl to the meeting every Saturday.
Oh.
And then when my sponsor said, I want you to come to this meeting, you know, I did some of the 10-minute shares for her, and I did, you know, started doing program errands, if you will, for her.
Mm-hmm.
Because she had spent a long time doing program errands for me.
That's right.
You know, it
reciprocal
was give and take.
Reciprocal helpfulness.
Carry the message.
And I try to do the same thing now. You know, I haven't been too successful with sponsees lately. I just, you know, in order to be helpful to someone tonight, I had to tell them I couldn't help them because she wanted to do a program that I don't do.
Right.
And I can only take her through the steps in the big book. That's all I can do.
That's all you need to do.
And so I had to tell her that I couldn't help her, and I told her to get a sponsor in that program.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine if that's what she wants to do.
Right.
She looked a bit surprised, but I don't know how to do anything else. And I told her, you know, keep my number.
Mm-hmm.
And call me if you need to. Yeah, call me if you need to. And she said, okay.
Yeah.
So, Mark.
Yes.
What would your final words on helpfulness versus enabling be?
Well, I think that as a, you know, we've gotten into this sponsor role lately of the sponsor's job is to take the newcomer, take the person through the steps.
Clearly.
Sponsors need to have a little responsibility also about teaching their sponsees how to be a member of this program.
True.
You know. And I don't think that happens as much as it used to. I remember my sponsor telling me, you know, don't crap all over the meetings. You want to share?
As did mine.
You want to share 3 to 5 minutes. You go over 5 minutes, you know, don't ever go over 5 minutes in a meeting I'm in with you because I'll start throwing stuff at you.
Oh, my sponsor did that to me. Yeah, she would yell at me.
Yeah. You know, and
I need to start doing that too.
And they taught you, you know. And they taught you, and you know, my sponsor a couple times told me how to share. You say your name and your disease. And then he'd look at me and say, and if you're in a meeting of another fellowship, you say whatever disease is that fellowship's there for because you don't need to screw with them. You know? So that's how I started identifying as an alcoholic.
So Mark threw that one right out the window later.
Yeah, you learned that lesson.
We just did a show not that long ago. Mark's like,
for 25 years.
He still shares as an alcoholic.
Years. And you know what? I went to an AA meeting. I spoke at an AA meeting, and I identified as an alcoholic because you know what? It's respect for the program.
Right.
You know, will I make jokes about it? Will I make fun of it? Will
Absolutely.
I talk about it? Sure. Because I just...
Rule 62,
that's
baby.
That's right. We are not a glum lot, pal.
So, Shelley.
So, you know, sponsors, teach your babies. Teach your children well.
It takes a meeting to raise a child.
Yes.
To raise a newcomer. Shelley, what are your final words?
Oh.
I call on you second. You should be.
I know.
You should have the one-liner ready to go.
I was too busy listening to Mark's pearls of wisdom.
No, you should try and say something like, you know, being helpful only helps me or something like that.
You've just said that, so now I can't say that.
Trying to help.
trying to be helpful.
He was enabling you.
I think that probably the best way to help the newcomer, I mean, in my opinion, is to be an example. What would you like to see in the program? What do you want to get out of the program? And then put that back in and be that person.
The most helpful anyone ever was to me in this program was my mother when I wanted to stay at her house and try and work my way into her house. She gave me a sleeping bag for my birthday and said, good luck, it's cold out there. And it absolutely saved my life. And it was as non-enabling as you could be. Mm-hmm. And at the time, it just seemed like it sucked. And it ended up being the most helpful thing that ever happened to me. Shelley.
Yes.
Where are friends online?
That would be intherooms.com.
.com.
It's an online recovery community where you can go and put up a profile. Meet some people in the A of your choice. Go to online chats and meetings. You can go to Friends of Recovery 101 and listen to our embedded player while you surf the site, and it's all free.
Awesome.
Great.
How are our friends back east?
In the city of Bromance?
In the city of Bromance.
Philadelphia.
What is it? Bromosexual.
Bromosexual, yes. That'd be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette. At 12stepgazette.com.
He has a fine name.
12-Step
Gazette. He's a fine guy. He posted on my profile the other day. It was very nice.
Yeah. He is a good guy.
And he listens to the show.
He does. He does.
He's awesome.
Yep. And but anyway, 12-Step Gazette. You can go up onto our recovery101.net site, go scroll down to the link, and click on it. It'll take you directly to his site. The new issue is up.
Yes, it is.
And you can go and you can read that issue online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can get the subscription prescription.
I love
and
that.
He will send it to you via the postal service. If you have an Alano club or a recovery house or a place where many of the sicker gather, you can contact Bruce and he'll send you many copies to strew about the room. If you're interested in a franchise, contact Bruce and he'll give you all that information.
Yeah, because no one needs any work.
He'll give you all the information and all the help you need to bring the 12-Step Gazette to your little corner of the world.
No, nobody needs any work. We can't all live in Texas.
Yeah.
Don't forget Recovery Idol. You know, record a jingle for us, 30 to 60 seconds in length. It's got to say Recovery 101 in it somewhere.
Nobody's listening anymore. You don't need to do that pitch.
Yeah. Well, you know, we got to do it. Okay. You can send those in to us at or any show topics or comments or whatever at recovery_101@hotmail.com, recovery101radio@gmail.com, or recovery101radio@hotmail.com. We've also got, for our crack advertising staff, recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. If you'd like to advertise with us, you can get in contact with us any way you want. Wanted to mention, too, if you are a Facebooker, if you're on my friends list on there and you ever see a post that says our show, you can merely go down right to where the post is and click on that play button right there, and it'll play it right in your browser. You can go up to profile or whatever, right click and say open in a new tab, and continue to surf around and do whatever you want. Also, if you want to go to the Podomatic site, which recovery101.net redirects to, if you join up there and you want to follow us on there, you can do that. You can comment on the shows there. That's more helpful to us than commenting on Facebook, although we love those as well. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
As you heard tonight, don't take yourself so damn seriously.
And Shelley,
yes.
If I had needed a meeting.
It's too late now. Go to bed.
You just had one. You just had one.
Yeah.
Who's the lead out music by?
Our band of the month, 8 Days Clean.
Awesome. Everyone, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
Take care of you.
She's to blame.